I believe that God is the evolution of humanity. I don't know what that means.
So if you believe that a human came from a non-human parent, so God should come from human parents too then, right? If you accept that, then I'm good.
I still have no idea what God doesn't exist. So why would I think if humans evolve, then a magic man in the sky exists? Or are you saying God is something that humans invented?
So if you believe that a human can come from non-human parents, and you should also accept that God can come from human parents, right? Not one or the other.
Are you talking about Jesus supposedly being born from Mary?
Yes, that's an evolution, right?
According to you? That's not evolution, that's magic.
Yeah, I mean, human coming from monkeys is also magic then.
No, right? It's not magic. It's literally evolution. It's a physical, natural, scientific idea. It doesn't there are no scientific ideas that violate the laws of physics. If they were, they wouldn't be science. They would be magic.
Yeah, I mean, the evolution is magic, right? Because
no, it's not magic. It's literally natural, physical. So, I mean, like, there's no such thing as an actual, like, existing scientific thing that happens. We understand it through a process called science. So we'll just call it natural. No, it completely not. When things fuck, they pass on some of their DNA, but there are always changes in that DNA. And once things have fucked tens, hundreds of millions of times, those cumulative differences mean that hundreds of millions of cloaca smashings down the road, the thing at the end of that process is different from one of the things millions of steps before. This is trivial to understand.
And yeah, that's why Jesus came for the Israelites, right? But in the way
that has nothing to, none of this has anything to do with Jesus.
The process that you described, the same thing happened with Jesus and the Jews. Literally, if you don't accept that that is evolution, then no, human did not come from monkeys.
Because the story of Jesus's existence is magic. It's not science. It's not science or evolution.
Then evolution is also a magic.
What's magical about it? What violates by magic? I mean, violates natural law. What violates natural law?
So Jesus' birth does
not. No, we're not talking about Jesus. We're talking about evolution. What in evolution violates the laws of physics or natural law?
Nothing, but you don't accept that
Jesus is. So it's not magic. So stop saying that.
But you think that Jesus' birth is magic.
Are you going to now stop saying that evolution is magic now that you admitted that it doesn't meet the criteria of magic?
As long as you do accept that Jesus' birth is not magic, then yes.
It is magic because he's supposed to be God. He was conceived miraculously.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's magic, right? Miraculously, suddenly something changed and human, two monkey parents became human. Suddenly had a human baby.
Did Joseph nut inside Mary?
Maybe after she gave birth to Jesus.
Okay, so Jesus' conception has nothing to do with Joseph nutting in Mary. There was no glizzy sauce inside Mary from Joseph that led to Jesus' conception. So then did a sperm fertilize an egg? Is that how Jesus' conception came to be?
Nope.
No. So then it wasn't evolution, it was magic.
It was evolutionary magic, yes.
What the hell is
same like evolutionary magic where monkeys give birth to a human?
No, we already went over that. You admitted that there's no magic involved. So what natural process led to Jesus' existence?
Technically,
there are none. I'll help you out and give you the answer. There are none. Anyways, go on.
Yeah, I forgot the name, but where, you know, reptilians, they give birth without any
parthenogenesis. Without any partner. So Jesus wasn't God. The Holy Spirit did not impregnate Mary. Mary's egg just simply duplicated all of its DNA, which would make Jesus a girl, by the way. So Jesus was a girl, and it was a completely natural birth. Therefore, he wasn't God. So you reject Christianity.
Nope, he was God. That's just you putting in what words sense was, into your own in mouth in what, and sucking so it.
The Jesus that you believe in was a girl that was birthed naturally. Yes, it was a virgin birth, but it occurred through parthenogenesis. So there could not have been a Y chromosome. So the Jesus you believe in was birthed naturally and was a girl. That is a full-on rejection of Christianity. Do you understand?
He was a girl man, yes. He was the man of all men, right? YY chromosome, because XX chromosome inverted, and then you have only have half his chromosome. So you don't understand. So you need to understand Jesus and accept him so that you get his full chromosome.
Man, yeah, I thought the Trinity was confusing, but this whole Jesus was a handsome lady Christology is, this is even more confusing than the Trinity doctrine. So, okay.
Because you accept evolution,
but
don't accept Jesus.
Yeah, because I don't believe in magic.
But you believe in evolutionary magic. Same thing.
There is no magic. It's completely naturalistic. You admitted it.
Yeah, same like
No. It's human not, having monkey it's parents, not the same.
God having human.
None of this is the same. You agreed that there was no glizzy sauce involved in Jesus's conception. Well, then you tried to switch it to parthenogenesis, so you actually reject Christianity. And like, whatever. That's fine. Burn in hell for all I care. I'll see you there. But no, there's no magic involved in evolution. It's a completely naturalistic process. You admitted it. Now, if you're going to claim that Jesus was born of parthenogenesis, then where's the miracle?
Evolution was the miracle.
No, where was the miracle? Where was the miracle in Jesus's birth or existence?
Yeah, the evolution.
Of
God.
What?
Evolution of God inside Jesus.
What does that mean?
So what do you mean when
what do I mean when I ask you what do you mean? Okay, goodbye, dumbass. If you're like my guest and you can't read either, I do have good news. I created audiobooks of both my books available on my Shopify store.
I got a question because I saw a video of yours recently about a new evolutionary study that you posted, and you were saying that this is like mind-blowing and pretty much confirms evolution, but then the study you cited was basically just AI modeling.
Oh, so yeah, we've been able to take AI models and they can fold proteins. They can do the simulation for folding proteins. So it demonstrates that functional proteins can be produced out of a very restricted number of amino acids.
But you understand that that's not science, right? Like, you're aware of that?
Well, I mean, it literally is. We use alpha-2 has been used to develop medicines and I think some vaccines as well.
I'm not saying it's not useful, but what I'm saying is that you're not actually doing any science at all. You're just running like a synthesized modeling on a computer program. There's no scientific method there.
I don't really understand why that wouldn't count as science.
Are you using the scientific method?
So you don't have to necessarily use the scientific method to do science. Like, there aren't any experiments. Like, we didn't discover that black holes exist by conducting an experiment. We did it through observation. And, like, if you want to understand animal behavior, you want to study them in their natural environment. Because if you put them in a laboratory, they quite often behave completely differently. So it's not really an experiment when you do that either, but it's certainly is science. You can still make predictions and test them out.
Okay, so you're just saying though that like I don't think it would actually prove something, right? You're just saying that it's possible based on this AI model, but you could essentially program an AI model to do anything that could be even anti-science and run programs to actually see different results as well, right? They don't even have to be, it doesn't have to be accurate. So I don't think it's good evidence of what you're claiming it is.
I disagree. I mean, there are fields of I think like computational biology where they do this kind of thing where we where they do models and then or they build models that can be used to make predictions. So what the Alpha 2 program does is it's kind of like a proof of concept, really. Can you make functional proteins out of a limited amino acid set? Yes, you can, because the Alpha 2 program demonstrates how that's done. And again, Alpha 2, I mean, it can simulate hundreds of millions of proteins, but proteins that it simulates have been made before. So we know that the program, like accurately, how do I say this? We know that the program can like accurately model the world, if we want to say it that way. And it is a prediction of, it's not exactly evolution, but whatever, we'll call it evolution. It is a prediction of evolution that chemical evolution as well as biological evolution would happen. So yeah, we would actually expect early proteins on the planet to be simpler, made of simpler things. And this program demonstrates that, yep, you can get functional proteins out of those.
Well, I mean, maybe I'm misunderstanding what you're saying, but you're saying on the planet, but some of these things would have to exist even prior to a planet, wouldn't
No, I mean amino acids can form on the Earth. It's not like the amino acids have to exist and they're floating in space and then the Earth forms and hopefully some of the amino acids are there when the Earth forms. No, it can chemically be made on the surface of the Earth. So
And then
you can have an
what would
Earth with
there's
zero amino acids and it'll make its own amino acids later on.
but then what would their like what would the likelihood of survival of these amino acids even be though, like as the environment's changing? Because it like you're just saying in like a lab scenario based on this AI modeling that this could be the case, but how is it accounting for all the changes in environment and whatnot? Because at one point there wasn't water here, right? At one point there wasn't.
Super early on, yeah, Earth got water, was covered in water pretty early on in the history of Earth, in the grand, if you look at the big picture.
Well, that's what we think. We like it's not we've never really observed any of this stuff. These are like educated guesses, essentially.
There's scientific, I would call it scientific knowledge, and science is our species' crowning achievement. So you don't really get any better than that. There are chemical signatures of water that get left behind in the geologic record, and scientists know how to test for that. But like how it, would the amino acids be stable? I mean, we find them in meteorites. We find amino acid like the Miller-Urey experiment creates amino acids with no biological material to start with. So out of ordinary ingredients in a in a environment completely devoid of life, amino acids form, and they're going to continuously form. Like, sure, maybe they don't have great chemical stability. I don't know if that's the case or not. We can pretend that they don't, but they're created constantly. So, if they break down, well, new ones are being created all the time. It's like I don't have to worry. I don't have to worry about my lawn disappearing just because grass dies. Yes, but new grass grows.
Yeah, I mean, I see what you're saying. Like, there's different ideas, though, of how water got here currently.
Yeah, we don't really know.
That's what I mean. Like, to me, I think a lot of what's being proposed in science is basically, it's just your own creation story with not really sufficient evidence for it either. Even like the scientific evidence is going to be a bigger burden than, say, like creation evidence, because we're not claiming that creation is a scientific claim to begin with, right? But on your end, everything has to be explained by the physical, essentially. So,
potentially, so you have the way bigger burden because you have to prove that magic exists in the first place. I don't have to wonder if there's a universe out there. I don't have to wonder if there are other planets. I don't have to wonder if planets have water. I don't have to wonder if chemicals can form on a planet devoid of life. We know all of those things.
Well, I think it's a category error to put us in the same box in the first place. Right? Like, it's not like my burden's bigger. It might be bigger in your eyes because,
well, I think your burden I think your burden is impossible because you can't know how magic works. It's literally unknowable. So it contributes nothing of value to any kind of knowledge that we could ever have.
And as it stands right now, nobody can know how the water actually got here. Right,
but in principle, the best theory is
like comets dropped water here when they came.
But in principle,
planet.
This is
like
knowable.
Nobody sees comets dropping any water here now.
But
very few.
Well, I mean, we have seen comets hit other things before. Luckily, we haven't seen one hit the Earth. That would kill a lot of people, probably. But it is in principle knowable. I mean, like just. All we have to do is look at the historical record. A long time ago, nobody knew why people got sick. I mean, there were some things that we understood. If you do thing A, then you will get sick. But for most things, we had absolutely no idea. And yeah, there were popular ideas about miasmas and stuff like that. Ideas that were biblically inspired, it seems, as well. But then later on, we did figure out the answer to those things. It's in principle knowable, and we have an enormous track record of success, but we don't know everything yet. But the difference with the other, with the creation is it's literally untestable, unknowable, and not useful in any way.
Well, I mean, it would be useful to a lot of Christians. It might not be useful to like someone who's secular, but
well,
like we're
saying,
it's a
creation
story.
Useful in the sense
not...
of in the sense of contributing to knowledge.
Well, I mean, yeah, but useful could be a multitude of things. Useful could be for a better society.
Yes.
Right.
Yes, but I'm trying to be explicit that that's not what I mean. I don't think that those really create very good societies either. But
well, I think there's evidence of that, at least, that there is like Christian societies that have thrived, like the Byzantine Empire thrived.
Unless you were one of its many slaves or one of its many women or one of its many poor or, you know, or if you wanted to be able to read or... Pretty much all but like 10 people. No, it didn't. I don't think it worked very well comparatively. Relatively, were they better than hunter-gatherers? Yeah, in a lot of ways, probably, but.
Well, they survived, like the empire survived a very long time, for one. I believe it's the longest standing empire in history. And society seemed to function. Like if you're gonna point at like slavery, it's like if you look at that time frame, find me a place that didn't have slavery.
Christians were no better than people that Christians were practitioners of slavery. So they were somehow Christianity couldn't advance beyond slavery. So the seemingly most obvious, one of the seemingly most obvious moral advancements to make, Christianity was completely immune to it. They lost two wars that they fought to preserve slavery, and won a war that they fought to preserve slavery.
Yeah, I don't think you understand what I'm saying. In the time, like the time frame of the Byzantine Empire, could you point to like an area that got rid of slavery?
I'm not. Slavery was temporarily abolished in China, and I don't know when that era was. I'm agreeing with you that slavery was normal. If Christianity is supposed to in any way be good, then it shouldn't be the status quo. It should be better than that. Otherwise, you'd have to argue that slavery is fine. And so if Christians do slavery, then there's not a problem. I don't accept that.
I think anybody who would be like a moral subjectivist, I think they would have to say that in some cases it is fine. Not maybe not individually, but they wouldn't be able to say it's absolutely wrong.
I mean, I'm a moral subjectivist and I think slavery is wrong.
Yeah, as an individual, but if someone else said no and they think it's actually a good thing, what's your argument against them?
Just I would ask them, would you like to be enslaved?
Yeah, and what if they said yes?
Well, then they're probably mentally ill. There is such a thing as mental illness.
Well, yeah, but like,
there's
well,
some people your that, argument is just there's a some people that probably your think argument shit, is, shit tastes
would you
good,
like this but, thing to happen that I don't like? It's like, yeah, like
well, no, Dahmer was just hungry. I didn't get to run through it because you said that they would like to be enslaved. Nobody likes to be enslaved.
If there was room and board on the table and I was hard up for times, so I wouldn't have a problem with working fields.
Would you prefer to? Yeah, but we can imagine that you could have the exact same job, but not be a slave.
Yeah, I see what you're saying, but I'm just being a contrarian for the moral yeah, kind
of the basic argument of it runs. Would you like to be a slave, or would you like for me to beat you to a pulp, or would you like for me to throw your family into a wood chipper? And the answer to those questions is going to be no. And so then I would say, okay, yeah. Now give the argument that it's not okay for it to happen to you, but it is okay for you to do it to other people, or for it to happen to other people. And there is no logical pathway to that. So it's subjective, but it does still, I mean, it's like it, in a weird kind of way, it's like universally subjective, which is kind of the closest thing we can get to objectivity. So yeah, I guess that's what I would say.
I guess, are you against prisons then, by any chance? Like
I'm against the way the prison system currently works, because they actually do practice slavery. It literally says in the 13th Amendment,
yeah.
Slavery, except for punishment for crimes, is hereby abolished. Yeah, I'm against the prison industrial complex in general. I'm in favor of massive reforms for it.
Okay.
To it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I am at my slave job right now. So I can't stay up long. I wanted to just bring up the thing about AI originally, because I think you had a debate with Made by Jim Bob one time, and he was kind of pointing out that like the calculator, you could program the calculator, no matter what input you put in, could just say boobies every time. Okay, and that's essentially what you could do with this AI modeling. I'm not saying they did this, but I'm saying
AI
it's not
models
like
are
equivalent
actually
to
testable.
Actual scientific experiments.
Yeah, the AI models are actually testable, but what the AI model is doing is it's like we don't have to wonder if those proteins even exist. We know they exist because it had a protein library, and all it's doing is saying, look, can you put together these amino acids so that it creates these proteins? And it's programmed with all the chemistry that we know, like how protein formation works. So if it can simulate it, that means that it actually can do this.
Well, then, would you agree that it's not equivalent
to people that design cars and race, like Formula One? They simulate, like if they're going to create new aerodynamics, they can simulate it before they make it. And it's like literally, it's probably not going to be 100% perfect because simulations assume idealized conditions, but you can program like turbulence and whatever into them. But like we do that kind of thing all the time. And so this AI program, it's fair to kind of call it a proof of concept, but it's not speculation as to whether or not it's possible. We know it's possible. It's more of a speculation of, well, okay, but did it actually occur that way? We don't know, but we can logically, and I would argue scientifically, prove that it absolutely could have. So a hurdle that was once proposed is in our way. That hurdle is now knocked down. Okay, actually, a terrible analogy, because if you knock down the hurdle, you get disqualified.
It
depends on how you knock down
the hurdle.
Yeah, you're supposed to go over that. Like you can, if you touch the hurdle with your hand, you're disqualified. But whatever.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, that's all I got right now. Anyway, thanks for bringing it up.
You're welcome. Get a free book, 2 free audiobooks, and ad-free videos by becoming a Patreon member.